Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here's a familiar story. I mean, if you look at it in the grand sweep of the Old Testament, it's actually rather obscure, but it picks up where Elijah had left off and Elisha is now carrying out, with a double portion of the Spirit, Elijah's prophetic ministry. And he's doing the same thing that Elijah did by and large. He's doing miracles. And here's one that, wow, it sure looks like it's pointing forward to miracles performed by Jesus. In fact, Elisha just heals one leper. Jesus can do them 10 at a time, which probably should tell us something. Joining us to talk about, and it's 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at the first verse, God healing in the Jordan waters. Joining us to talk about this, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. And Pam joins us live from Houston, Texas. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Pastor Wilkin, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. I understand you're actually in Houston for vacation. You don't actually have any obligation to be there. You're down there because you want to be down there.
I'm down here with my husband because we want to be here, and I'm also taking my turn in the Concordia Deaconess Conference booth, but that's a volunteer thing. Since I'm here, I'm doing it. But it's an exciting week, and a lot of the church is gathered here, and we're seeing old friends making new ones, and we love our church, and some important decisions are being made this week, and we wanted to be here.
To the story of Elisha and Naaman, and it really wouldn't go anywhere if the story didn't begin with this little girl who, for some reason, is living among the Syrians as a slave. How does she get there and then get us into the story of Naaman and Elisha?
Oh, this is a great story, and it's a great one to teach children because this little girl is important to the story. And the text tells us that Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Syria, and he had he's in the king's good favor because the Lord had given victory to Syria in its battles against the other nations, and he gave that victory through the commanding of Naaman as he oversaw the armies. And the text just very simply says that that the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she now works in the service of Naaman's wife. So a little girl, obviously one old enough to do work and communicate, so maybe we might think a second, third, fourth, maybe fifth grader, that kind of child who's now serving Naaman's wife. And she's an Israelite, and her mistress's husband, powerful, looked in favor by the king, victorious at war, is afflicted with leprosy, a skin disease, one of many skin diseases grouped into that word leprosy, and it's not going away. And she says to her mistress, Naaman's wife, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." Well, you can imagine, nothing's curing him. He's tried everything, surely, everything at his disposal. So it's sort of going out on a limb, but the mistress tells her husband, and he thinks enough of it to go to the king and say, I want to try this out. I want to go to Israel. I want to find this prophet, and I want him to cure me. And the king not only gives him his blessing, he says, go, and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel. And he does that, sends a letter, sends gifts, really extravagant gifts to open the door for Naaman with the king of Israel. And, you know, silver and 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothes, and this letter. And they get there, and the king of Israel reads the letter, and he's immediately angry, overwhelmed, whatever. He tears his clothes. He sees this as a threat. He knows he can do nothing to heal this man. He thinks he's being set up by this Syrian king, so that he's going to send this guy home. He figures still with leprosy, and that means war, and he's caught between a rock and a hard place. And it's just a great story, because you've got this prophet Elijah who gets word of this, and he says, hey, you know, king, listen, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. And that's what happens. Naaman comes, horses and chariots, comes to his house. Elisha doesn't let this important warrior in. He keeps him at bay, sends a messenger to him, and tells him, simply just go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be clean. This mighty commander was not happy. This isn't what he expected. It's not how he thought this was going to go. And boy, I can relate to him. I often think I know how God should take care of my problem. But he goes away angry, and he says, you know, I would have thought he would come and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me. And so then someone in his servants came to him and said, this is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Will you not go to the Jordan and do what he said? Wash and be clean? And so then he does. He listens to the servant, which is really quite amazing. He goes and dips, it says, 7 times like he was told in the Jordan. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was made clean. So there's the story. Answered your question with a long summary here, but incredible how God used the little kidnapped little girl, taken away from her homeland, her family, made a slave in his home, used her to bring about his grace in Naaman's life.
Was there anything special about the waters of the Jordan?
No. In fact, you know, the Naaman, you know, questions the Jordan, and then he cites two of the waters in Damascus, the Abana and the Pharpar rivers, as being much better by human standards. They were bigger, maybe more flowing with water, had more to offer the crops and the ground around. The Jordan wasn't as well known, perhaps. He questions that. It's just a river. It's just a river with water. It's the fact that this command came through the prophet of God. This was God's hand in it, and he used this natural element, as we've been talking about this summer, simple water, to heal a man stricken with the skin disease, leprosy. It wasn't the water. It was God's acting through the word of the prophet and the water combined. Now that takes us fast forwards to our own dipping or being poured upon with simple, ordinary water, tap water for most of us, and the word of God at our baptisms. Direct connection, don't you think?
Well, I think so. And in fact, I think that Naaman's initial attitude toward the prophet's command to go wash in the Jordan River is very similar to, sadly, many Christians' initial attitude towards Jesus' command to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that it actually does wash away sins and deliver the forgiveness of sins, they say, how can water do this for me?
That's exactly right. And Luther tells us in the Catechism, it is not the water, but it is the Word of God combined with the water which does these great things. And you're right. It gives us the forgiveness of sins. It does wash away our sin. And we are so like Naaman. So much of Christendom dismisses this and doesn't see in this little thing what a great thing it is, and how God once again works in hidden ways, in opposite ways than our human minds would think he would work, by taking a few drops of water poured upon our foreheads, combined with the words of God to wash us from sin, to cleanse us from our sin sickness, to forgive us. It's incredible, but we're no different than Naaman. We want to say, but how? And God says, it is so. And no different than the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, a little bit on our tongues, but it's the Word of God combined with those that has the power to do what indeed it says it will do.
Let's take a break when we come back. I think this is something Pam probably wants to come back to, and that is, it really is, she mentioned before that this little slave girl is key, and she is the one who actually mediates this, first brings the promise that there can be healing for Naaman, and then, in all humility, advises this man, of whom she is a slave, as to what he should do. And as Pam said, remarkably, he listens to her. It is remarkable that he would listen to her, not only in the sociological context, but, well, when the promise of God is involved, remarkable things always happen, regardless of who's speaking that promise. It's Monday afternoon, July the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about God healing in the Jordan waters. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet @issuesetc.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why We call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen with us for another 10 minutes. Then in the second hour of the program, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a regular guest and a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, will join us live from Houston, Texas, where the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is underway by a day. Very important decisions already made this morning and early this afternoon. We'll see what's happening there, what's happened, and what's coming up soon at that convention. That'll be about 10 minutes in the second hour, and then Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will begin a daily series with us on Christ Alone. We'll start Christ Alone in the Scriptures. Of course, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the radio program The White Horse Inn. Pam, let's talk a little bit about, you said it was remarkable that Naaman finally listened to this little girl with her simple question. You know, if he had told you to do something big, you'd do it. Why don't you do something small?
Yeah, it really is incredible that... And it has to be God preparing his heart to hear her words, the Holy Spirit, as he does, because this was his wife's servant. This was a girl, and it was a little girl, and someone he kidnapped from enemy territory. Nobody that by any social standard he should have had any reason to listen to or pay attention to, and yet God uses her to get the word to him that there's a prophet in Samaria who can heal him because he's God's prophet, a prophet of the Lord. And, you know, when we teach this weekend with our Sunday school children, this is one of those lessons where you can really build up in the children's minds that God can work through them too, and that we should never be afraid to speak God's word when the opportunity arises to point people to their Savior when they're struggling with sin or problems or troubles, and for them to trust that God uses them and loves them and will be with them in those situations. And it's really a very beautiful story of the most unlikely person to come to this great warrior and to tell him after he's tried everything, maybe you should go, there's a prophet who can heal you. And she pointed him in the right direction, pointed his wife. The wife had to be prepared by the Holy Spirit, too, for her to listen and for her to think enough of it to go to Naaman. And that's kind of, you know, how vocation works. God puts an opportunity in front of us, an opportunity to serve our neighbor. And, you know, by human standards, she had no obligation to help her master who had kidnapped her. But she goes beyond her vocation now as slave and serving her neighbor who is sick, giving him the word that there's a prophet who has the power of God to heal him. And it's a beautiful story.
Then you had mentioned, I mean, we both mentioned before that there's an obvious connection to baptism. There's another one that I'd like you to just address briefly, and that is when Jesus, in a sense, fulfills this, he fulfills this in so many ways, but when he actually fulfills this narrative, if you will, of healing lepers, he does it tenfold by simply speaking the word. Address that a little bit, if you would.
Sure. You know, so often in these Old Testament stories, we talk about them being the foreshadowing, the type of Christ. And this is one of those situations where later, when Christ comes and lives and walks among us as the Son of God, yet Son of Man, he is the greater prophet. He is the full prophet. Elisha was the lesser, now Christ the greater, who, when the 10 lepers come to him, only by his word, cleanses them and heals them and does it for 10 of them. The same is true in our lives, God gives us His men of His word, our pastors and people who are sent by God to us, and they point us to the true, the Son of God, to Christ, and all of it is through Him, who died on the cross for our sins, who suffered for our sins, paid the price, so that we could be washed, made clean, made whole, forgiven through the waters of holy baptism, and that be for all eternity. This was a healing, a physical healing of Naaman. And through it, if we go to verse 15, which isn't part of our lesson, but Naaman, he finally gets it and says, and talks to all of his company, stands before them and says, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present." He's going back and reporting. He makes a statement of faith. All of that came through this, but in a greater way, through water in the Word, in holy baptism, because of Christ, we're healed of eternal disease of sin. We're made whole, no longer sin sick, but healed for life because of Christ. And so there's the connection, Elisha and his healing, the lesser, Christ always the greater, the perfect, the complete.
Then back to the theme that runs through all of our summer's conversations. We're kind of jumping around these Bible passages in the Old Testament. And you mentioned it before, that God uses the things He has created that in and of themselves have no real power to do anything for us of a spiritual or saving nature. And yet, remarkably, He uses them precisely to save us. With a few minutes before we close up, talk again about that.
Sure. God does this because He knows us, and He seems to always, in the Old Testament and the New, pair His spiritual works, which are the greater things, much greater than healing a skin disease, is being healed for all eternity from sin disease. We can't see that, but we can see water. So when the pastor speaks the word of God and he pours a little water, there's a physical element there. It gives us something to see, to hold on to. Just as God did, He was with those Israelites in their wandering, but He knew they needed to see something, and He put Himself in the cloud and the fire that they could follow. He put Himself in the tabernacle. He was among them, of course. That was the reality, but they needed a place to focus on. And He does that in so many ways, often through these creation things that He's created in His earth, through wind, water, fire, through a human, sinful human being, a prophet, a pastor. God works through physical means to open our eyes and our hearts to the truth of His Word, to the reality of what He's doing spiritually, to the things we can't see, but the greater things that we need so desperately for eternity.
And finally, when the little kids hear this story and they ask about that connection to baptism, with only about 30 seconds, Pam, how would you describe the connection as simply as possible? About 30 seconds.
Well, hey, you can say this was Naaman's baptism, and this is no different than your baptism, boys and girls. You are sick with sin. When you were born with the disease of sin, and in the waters of baptism, that disease is washed away. You are cleansed like Naaman. And I would take them up to the church, put some water in that font. If you can have pastor there to talk about it with them, do it. If your church is by a river or stream, go out, let them stick their toes in the water, have them do it 7 times. It's summer, and if you have that opportunity, it'd be a great thing. They won't forget it. But you want to make that connection between this story and Naaman and your children in Sunday school and their holy baptism and what it means for them now and in eternity.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called growing in Christ. It is truly Christ-centered and cross-focused. As you can see, in all of these conversations based upon that curriculum, every story has its connection to Christ. We're not forcing this upon these stories. This is how the Bible reads, folks. It is all the cradle that holds Christ and points forward to Him and His saving work of us. You'll find that in each and every lesson of Growing in Christ. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Order Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks, Pam.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, etc. It's been a busy day down in Houston, Texas, especially today. The 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod got underway yesterday officially, but the real voting and decision-making began this morning, and it was kind of off with a bang. A big decision made about restructuring the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll see what Molly Ziegler-Hemingway has to report to us with a live update from Houston, Texas. She's a columnist for Christianity Today magazine and a contributor to GetReligion.org. So an update on the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod taking place in Houston, Texas, from Molly Ziegler-Hemingway in the second hour of the program. Then we'll start that daily series on Christ Alone with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.